really pleased to start off this new year with just an excellent education committee. And as I've talked to our committee members, I realize we've had a wide variety of experience and interest and knowledge of education, from being students to teachers to parents to being involved in school boards. So I think it's going to be a really interesting couple of years here, and I look forward to dealing with this this committee. Today we're going to start by talking about teacher evaluation. It's been an issue that's in the news in the world, in the U.S., and I'd refer you to, if you haven't seen it, a really interesting article that Tim has made available to us from the Chicago Tribune, talking about the study by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is really quite fascinating. I encourage you to read it, with the major points that they bring out that I think seems pretty apparent to me, that kids know who are the best teachers, and they should be a part of that, and that there are ways to get the results that we want, which is to get kids to learn and to identify and reward the best teachers. So to that end, we're interested in hearing what the commissioner has done to us, and what's happening, and how we can be involved in that. So let's see if I'll go to my list. You have in front of you the overhead of what the governor, or what the commissioner is going to be presenting to us. You have the new regs, and you may have the old regs, but if not, they're available to you. So let's begin with Commissioner Mike Hanley. Commissioner, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Chair Stevens, and I appreciate this opportunity. There was first meeting of the year, and there was a little glitch on who had the PowerPoint. So I guess I'd just like to make sure that each of you have the hard copy, because we don't have the PowerPoint. So if everybody's got that, I can grab one off the table.
Everyone has one. They're in front of you and with this cover.
We won't miss a beat. We'll be able to do that without the PowerPoint. So thank you for this opportunity to discuss the new regulation that I really think helps strengthen our education process here in Alaska. And I appreciate the opportunity because it became clear through our public comment process that there was a lot of misunderstanding around it, and there continues to be. And I continue to make efforts with our stakeholders whenever I get a chance to meet with them to clarify what this regulation does and what it doesn't do. To begin with where we are, we've got a policy as recognized in state statute that basically says that we have a responsibility to ensure that all of our students are successful in their education and in their subsequent careers. Our mission statement for the Department of Education sets the target of improved academic achievement for all students. Back in 1996, a statute was put in place that put the responsibility on local school boards to implement an evaluation process based on 8 content performance standards for teachers and 10 content performance standards for administrators. On the third slide there, you will see a list of the content performance standards for teachers. And what I've done is I've actually put a couple of the changes in there, and the two changes that are difficult to see, if you have a color copy, you'll see the top one is crossed out, and the bottom one is in a different color. It's in red, but the bottom one is the change. The point to look at here is that there are 8 content standards currently in regulation prior to this new regulation coming into effect. There were a couple of changes that were made, and the one that has caught the most attention is that last line on that slide says that we will help students grow academically as measured by learning data. So why make this change? Why add that component to what we're doing? If you look at these prior content standards that are listed on this page, they're all very positive. They're all things we want our teachers to be able to do. None of them address student learning and preparing students for that next level. And ultimately, the definition of an effective teacher is the enhancement and the opportunity for student learning. I think that's what we expect as a public. That's what I expected as a parent, that when our kids go to school, we want them to be taken care of. We want them to learn. We want them to be prepared for the next grade and the next step and college or careers afterwards. So this addition puts that in there as a part of a teacher's evaluation, that they will be evaluated on what their students are learning. On the next slide, it speaks to basically the three basic changes that took place in this regulation. The first one is that the cultural standards shall be considered when an evaluation is done. It's not specific. It does not say that you have to score a teacher on the cultural standards, but it says they shall be considered. Cultural standards, as listed in the regulation, are things like a culturally responsive teacher incorporates local ways of knowing and teaching. They use local environment and community resources. That's the relevancy to education. They work closely with parents to achieve common expectations between home and school. They recognize the full educational potential of each student and challenge them to meet that potential. Those are the cultural standards that shall be considered in an evaluation. They're not assigned a percentage, they're not assigned a particular point like these other content standards are, but they shall be considered. The second one there is to provide training for evaluators to ensure inter-rater reliability. You can have the best evaluation system, but if you have principals, and when we speak about administrators, which is the language in this regulation, we're really talking about principals. Principals evaluating teachers, if there's not an inter-rater reliability, if there's not a comparison between one or the other, a teacher really doesn't know what to expect. Depending on their principal, depending on what school they're in, they can expect one thing from one and another thing from another. It's critical that we have a common expectation of what good teaching is, what best practices are, and that there's, no matter where you go, there's a sense of comparability between evaluators.
Commissioner, do you mind questions along the way?
I think it's perfect. Go ahead. Thank you.
Could you just talk a little bit to us about the that issue of evaluation? Now, this is in a classroom, in a classroom setting. So you're really looking at a teacher on the job, and you're not just talking about evaluations outside. You're really observing a teacher as they teach.
Correct. And the evaluation process that's in place now requires observation, the opportunity for parent and student input. There are several things that are involved in the evaluation that weren't addressed in this regulation. But yes, we're talking about, and this regulation actually deals with administrators and teachers, but it is what is taking place in the classroom.
Thank you, Commissioner. And just for the committee, if you have any questions along the way, just pop your hand up and we'll try to answer them. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I was interested in your definition of cultural standards, but it's not written down on here. Can we just get that in writing at some point, the specifics of it?
Absolutely. Previously, our cultural standards, if you looked at our old regulations, they're adopted by reference. Mm-hmm. And they're relatively extensive. We chose to be more clear about them in this regulation. And actually, we minimized some of them because for a statewide model, Some of the standards didn't make sense in an urban area. The use of elders in a classroom didn't have the right language. So, but yes, I can get you that definition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner.
The last item on there is student learning. The last change, the significant change that we made was that student learning would be tied to a teacher's evaluation. That is what's gotten the most attention, and that's what has the most interest at this point, and I've defined that on the next slide that is titled Learning Data. Student learning data in this regulation is defined as measurements of students' growth during the time the student was taught by the teacher. So it refers to improvement, not proficiency. We still have a goal for proficiency. We still have a goal for success for all students. But in regard to this evaluation, we're not talking that every student has to jump over a particular bar and be proficient. We're talking about when they walk into the classroom, are you able to make gains with that student towards the next level? One of the concerns we heard in comments was, well, I teach special education students. I teach students with particular needs. How will they ever get to the point? How can I be held to the same level as someone who's teaching, you know, high-level students? And the answer to that is a measurement of when they walk in to when they walk out. So that's the definition of student learning data in this. The components of that are that there need to be multiple measures of the student learning. We're not going to, because another concern we heard, you can't just use a test. You can't just use our state test and call that good. That's a snapshot in time. So this regulation speaks to multiple measures, 2 to 4 measures. measures will be used in measuring a student's growth while in the classroom. Those measures do not have to be formalized assessments. They can be a curriculum-based. You could have a pretest at the beginning of a year and a post-test at the end of the year. You could have a mid-test in the middle of the year to see how the students are growing. It could be something as simple as that. It could be based on the curriculum that's being used because our curriculum should be based on our standards. It could be, picturing elementary school, and we've had conversations over the last couple of years about theme-based education and relevant education. It very well could be a project that has the proper rubric that measures against the standards, and a student at the end of the day could do a project on salmon. And at the end of the day, they could end up being scored on reading components, writing components, presentation components. There could be a lot in there in the standards. So it could be something like that if it's done by the district and says, this is what we're going to do for all third graders for this particular tool. So there's a lot of different tools that can be used when we're looking at these measurements. Another important part is that the measurements are in the aggregate. We're not going to look at a teacher and say, your one student didn't make it. You're not proficient. It's in the aggregate. How did your class do? We recognize that there's going to be differences with all students, but how did your class do overall? There is a requirement to utilize a statewide assessment, which currently we call our SBA, our standards-based assessment. If that test is used in your grade level for the subject that you're teaching, and it is adequate to measure, it's valid to measure growth from year to year. Our current one doesn't do that. So our current one won't be used. You may be aware that we adopted new standards, so we need to adopt a new assessment. We anticipate doing that either in 2014-15 or 2015-16. We're in the process of working on that new assessment. That new assessment will have the ability, we believe, to adequately measure growth from year to year. So there's a lot of language in this new regulation that speaks to a commissioner will identify it, a commissioner can put that in place and let everybody know it needs to have these criteria. That's all there just because our current one doesn't do that, so we won't be using our current one. The other component about the change is that a state assessment would be used in the same percentage, have the same weight as the other measurements being used. So we say 2 to 4 measurements need to be used. So the state assessment, if a district decides we're just going to use 2, and the state assessment is 1 because it's done in 8th grade, which is where we have a statewide assessment, and it's 1 that's being used. So it'd be used, that would be 1, and there'd be 1 other that's determined by the district. That means that the state assessment would be 50% of the student learning data. Not 50% of the whole evaluation, but just 50% of the student learning data. If 4 were used, it would be 25%. On the next slide, speaking about the flexibility in the language, there were a lot of concerns that, well, what about the things I can't control? And that makes a lot of sense. I spent 15 years in the classroom, and there were a lot of things that you don't have control over. What about a student who doesn't come to school? How do I teach a student that's not here? Very valid concerns. We want to be able to measure it where we can, and we want to attribute the growth to a teacher when it's appropriate, but we also want to recognize those things that are outside of a teacher's control. The language in here, if you look at the last line, it says that districts will develop procedures based on criteria to accurately reflect student growth based on educator performance. So this language is particularly put here to allow a district to say, look, if your student is not here, if there are attendance issues, we won't count that student, or we'll consider that in the evaluation if they're not here. If this student may be here, but maybe they are in foster care, they've had some domestic violence issues, they've been in several homes, and can that be considered? Yes, it's outside of a teacher's control. Those things can be considered. So that's why this language is in there.
Yes, send down with it.
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you, Commissioner. Would also the issues of students moving in and out of a district transition, students coming in from out of state in midterm, et cetera, will those things also be considered in the mix?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, yes, absolutely. How would we hold a student accountable for a year's growth if they're there for?
What I meant was, how would you how would this impact your evaluation of a teacher in the mix as you have students moving in and out, sometimes, you know, pretty high transitory rate?
Absolutely. And it goes to the absences. It goes to – that's definitely a consideration because we do have a significant transiency rate, higher in some parts of our state. But absolutely should be considered in the evaluation.
Thank you.
One key component for this, I asked several principals about this. I said, do you feel like this would tie your hands? You would have to give a teacher an erroneous evaluation because of the language here. And none of them said, oh, yeah, I feel like I'd have to do it. I'd have to give them this score or that score. They all felt like there was flexibility in this language to allow them to consider those outside influences. On the next slide, bottom line is, what are the results of this evaluation? Teachers will be evaluated on each of the standards as they are now. You saw on that first slide all the standards, and it will include student learning. For each standard, teachers will be evaluated on whether they are exemplary, proficient, basic, or unsatisfactory. So you take those eight standards. We removed one and added one, basically. So there's still eight. You take those eight standards. And it says that in the language that a district won't give a teacher a proficient rating if they're in basic on one or more of the standards. So there's no job issue there. There's no punishment. There's no step in of we've got to fix you. It's just you're not considered proficient in an overall rating if you're basic, if you're less than proficient in any one of those standards. It was a conversation that the board had extensively. Does this really work? And they went through each of those standards. Well, would I consider a teacher proficient if they're only basic in knowing the content and how to teach it? No, probably not. Understanding how students learn, if they were only basic? No, probably not. So it was a real deliberate decision by the board on that point. It really recognizes new teachers. We do not expect new teachers to be proficient in everything. Sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5 years, depending on the subject matter, until you really become proficient as a teacher. Basic is not bad, and there's no punishment for it. It's just recognized as basic. Now, if a teacher is considered basic in two or more of the standards, then a district is required to step in and offer support. That's not through a plan. That's just saying, oh, You're basically, you need some help in these areas, whether they get a mentor. It's not specified here. It's just we think that there's an obligation by a district to support their teachers, help them become better. They do have the opportunity, if they want, to put them on a plan of growth, which is a little bit more specific. And again, there's flexibility for the district to determine how that's done. But that's not required. It's just that the district needs to offer support if they're not proficient, if they're basic or lower, in two or more. And the last slide here is the basically the timeline and how this will all take place. 2015-16, 2.5 years from now, will be the first year that student learning will be incorporated. That's important because this regulation takes a big step forward, but there's a lot of work between now and implementation. There's a lot of work on the state's part, and there's a lot that's been put on districts to identify these tools and to put the right system in place, the right evaluation system in place, so we're doing this well. So beginning for the first 2 years, 15-16 and 16-17, the percentage of their evaluation that's tied to student learning will be 20%. Beginning in 2017-18, it will move to 35%. And beginning in 2018-19, which is 5.5 years from now, it'll move to 50%, and that's where it'll stay.
Senator Gardner, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Would just performance rating at any point in time be a public information available to parents?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, no. That came up several times in our public comment, and I can only figure out that what we did was, in the midst of changing this regulation, we clarified some regulatory language to make it match statutory language a little bit better. There were some duplicative things in there, but it's very clear in statute that these are not subject to public information requests. They are private documents.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Commissioner. Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, a good overview, and thank you very much. There's a couple things, and this is just a larger system, which I'm not familiar with. I go to Mike Dunleavy's school, and I'm the new teacher, and he's the principal. He's been there for 3 years. Is there a pre-discussion with the teacher of the baseline where Mike Dunleavy looks at me and says, Charlie Huggins, I see you came from Wasilla High School, and last year your rating was, and oh, by the way, let's you and I work together to have you make some progress, a baseline pre-performance evaluation. Is that part of the system?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, not specifically. That's certainly appropriate. We allow that in a local control state. We allow districts to determine what that would look like.
Okay. If I may, Mr. Chairman, the other part, which is I feel relatively confident, probably not part of the system, but I would just commend to all of us to think about it. You know, some evaluations have what's called pyramid, all right, where there can be two best teachers in the school based on criteria of whatever it breaks out to. And, you know, most professionals are interested in where they stand in that, but more importantly, it allows them to ask the question of what do I need to do from block three here to get up to block number one where the superstar, what's the delta? What's the difference between them and me? That's a healthy conversation to have. I'm not asking you to turn the system on its ear, but I do think that's something worth thinking about. And, you know, I mean, Bill and Melinda Gates spent lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And what you presented very simply is that this is what we can do. But it's one of those things that's an opportunity with a group of people that have great credibility that don't have an axe to grind other than they're spending their money to try to help us as a society.
Through the chair, thank you for that comment. I agree. I would surely hope that we end up with that opposite triangle where we have, and I think we actually do now, we have a lot, most of our teachers are already proficient and exemplary. The one thing about our current system and its subjectivity and its lack of specific data to measure is that I can say this from when I taught for 15 years and as a principal as well, I think there's some disincentives built in. Because you can reach those subjective goal lines relatively early, and there's no real drive to say, okay, now I need to go to the next step. I'm there. I've got my A. I've got my proficiency, if you will. Now, teachers have a lot of internal drive, and they continue to move forward, but our evaluation system surely doesn't incentivize that. I think it's also a disincentive for teachers who are doing a great job and are doing everything they can to move their kids towards that next level, and they're also carrying the ones who aren't. Because when they get those students into their classroom, they know they're going to have to take an extra step to get them there. And yet they're all rated as proficient. So I think that what we've got now is kind of a disincentive at all levels, and I would hope that this at least would recognize those great teachers and the work that they're doing towards that system.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah. And, Commissioner, there's one other element in my mind, and it's our mentors. I mean, as you know, we have a cadre of mentors. In my estimation, they are a key component in helping in this process, and I hope that we're pursuing it in some of that vein.
Through the chair, we absolutely are. We work very close with our mentor program, and Gary Whiteley heads that up for us. And that's for our principal mentors, but we also have our teacher mentor program that Senator Dunleavy has been involved in. You're right, absolutely critical that is a key component to the way they're helping our teachers grow.
It seems to me that I like the idea, I like the presentation, I like what I've heard about it, but it seems to me it only works if teachers and principals buy into it, and I assume that's one of your major goals, was to make sure that that buy-in occurs. I look at the 2019 and think, well, thank God I'm not going to be here then, but it is a long ways away, and the other sort of first buy-in, but the second issue of the 50%. That seems like a big step, but of course we've got a long time to get there, and you're comfortable that that's a reasonable expectation of 50%, using that as 50%.
I am comfortable with that. We're all nervous about it. It's a place we haven't been, and at 20%, there's not quite the intensity involved with that, Yeah, I think it's an appropriate one. Interestingly, and we had done this prior to the MET study coming out that you referenced, they speak to less volatility and more accuracy in that 33% to 50% of a teacher's evaluation being tied to a test score. So in a sense, that's a confirmation of that. But I'm comfortable with it, nervous but comfortable about with it, and we do have some big steps to make sure it's done right when we get there.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Dunleavy.
Does the department have a tracking system that they're developing along with this concept? In other words, tying student ID to the student data to the teacher ID to the evaluation process?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, not at this time. It's an area we've recognized that we would like to have, and the conversation even goes farther so that we can track them from our kindergarten or maybe pre-K in some cases through our university system and having that common identification so that we can track these students, we can track the effects of teachers throughout years, but we don't have that in place now. We're doing a lot of work with ACPE, with Diane Behrens, and a longitudinal data system. So it's always on our table. We're moving forward. It's not an easy proposition.
So if you have a teacher, for example, that teaches 2 years in Mat-Su and they transfer to a rural school or some other school in the state, how does this concept follow them? Does it start all over again? How would we know where they're at in terms of if they go from a Mat-Su school to a Barrow school, it's going to be, as the years lay out, 20%, 35%, 50%, regardless of where they're at.
Through the chair, Senator Donnelly, and that's correct. Those percentages are not determined by where you're teaching, but just in those years, that amount of your evaluation will be tied to student learning. We are hoping, and we're actually looking at how the state can support the evaluation model through training our principals so that when they move to Barrow, there's a common expectation when tied to student learning. There's a common expectation in that evaluation system so that there's not a new language from Mat-Su to Barrow, that at least they understand that. The percentage may have changed, but the language and the expectations are the same.
Just one more. Is there going to be an estimated fiscal note? Are you going to come and ask for more funds, additional funds for training, et cetera, tracking systems?
Through the chair, we do recognize that this is going to take time and money. The governor, when he weighed in on this, recognized the same. We've had a couple meetings in the department. I see three basic levels that we need to consider. One, we've got some districts that are already moving forward with these things, have already moved forward ahead of this regulation. Working with them to help, we're going to begin that through some grant funding that we have through our Northwest Center. We're going to look at supporting them to help develop a template for districts across the state. So looking at that as one, developing templates for districts that may not have the capacity to do it on their own, to support principals and help with that evaluation component, and then to support districts in their implementation of this, the training at the district level. So yes, we do recognize that. We don't have a fiscal note tied to that. I believe we've got the grant monies to get us rolling on some of this template work and work that we can do internally in the department. But I would anticipate that there would be some funding required to do this well.
Thank you for the questions. Yes, Senator.
Thank you. I think that in every school building, teachers have opinions about who are the best teachers in the building, and administrators have those opinions, and I think families do. We see parents who do anything to get their kids in a particular teacher's classroom, and I don't know how accurate those perceptions are, but I'm sort of curious about whether the kind of evaluation systems we're currently using track well with those popular evaluation systems. Has anybody looked at that?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, there has been some look at that. The recent MET study, and I've committed to getting that to you, speaks to the value of that student and parent input. Because it's a part of the part of the picture, matched up with observations, matched up with student data. All of those create a good evaluation system, and typically they go hand in hand. Currently, we require districts to give parents and students the opportunity to weigh in. I can speak when I was a principal that I used that, but not as a specific criteria. It usually just confirmed what I already knew. So we give them that opportunity now. I think it is an important part of the evaluation process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Well, we did you have anybody else from the department you wanted to speak to us? I noticed we had Morris down, but I don't see him here.
No, and I apologize. That must have been another miscommunication.
No problem.
We've got it covered from our end, and we work with a lot of stakeholders. I know that there are several here that you
sure.
want to.
Do you have anybody else from the department here today? Okay. There may be questions that pop up if you're available. We appreciate you being here, but I understand you have other commitments to.
That's fine.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. We've invited several people to speak, and I also noticed we have several people who signed the list to speak. My intention is to go through the ones that we invited as we invited them, so we'll begin with Jim Mariner, Bruce Johnson, Rob Thomason, Carl Rose, John Pyle, Andre Leral, Adam Mokelke, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, Rod Morrison, and John Alcantara. We'll go through that list in that fashion, and if there's anybody who's not here, that's fine. If there's anybody who's been added to this list, we'll try and pick you up. So let's go ahead with Jim Mariner, who's the chair of the Alaska State Board of Education and Early Development. Is Jim here?
Yes. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, Jim, we hear you loud and clear. And where are you calling from, Jim?
I'm in Anchorage.
Good to have you with us. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, Senator Stevens. May I ask who else is on the committee in the room with you today?
Well, yes, all of the members are here, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Huggins, myself, Stevens, Senator Stedman, and Senator Gardner.
Okay, excellent. I actually don't have a prepared statement. I was just informed that I would be available to answer any questions that anybody might have. I would like to say that I felt that the commissioner did a bang-up job explaining some of the nuances to these regulations because, as we all know, oftentimes the devil is in the details. And so anyway, I would like to entertain any questions anyone might have other than what the commissioner's already answered.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm sure you must have struggled and spent a lot of time over the timeline issue. Could you address that for us a little bit and how you see that working out, the implementation from 20% and 15% up to 50% in 18-19?
Sure. I like the fact that we have the timeline built the way that it is so that, you know, we have the 20% figure for the first 2 years, and those, you know, that first year is a couple years away. It just, in my opinion, gives us some time to, you know, just evaluate how the situation is progressing. And as the commissioner was mentioning, in terms of a state assessment in those grades and subject areas that there will be one available in the next few years, if a district uses 4 measures of student learning growth data, then the first year, the 20% of the overall rating, you know, it'd only be a fourth of that, so it'd be 5% of the overall rating would be one of the state assessment in that scenario. And obviously, if the district was only using 2 measures, it would be 10%. But we have 2 years where, you know, it's at 5% of the overall rating, and then the next year, the third year, it would move to 8.75%, and then that, you know, last year, and then years after, it would be at 12.5, and that's again if the districts are using 4 measures of student learning growth data. So I believe that we have a workable scenario here.
Thank you, Jim. I apologize for not asking you to just give us a little background. You are the chair of the Alaska State Board of Education Early Development. You've been the chair now for how long, and how long on the board?
I was elected the chair in June during our June meeting, so just you know, half a year here, I guess, a little more. I've been on the board. I believe it's getting close to 3 years. Maybe March would be 3 year mark, I believe.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your contribution to education in Alaska. Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to ask who this gentleman was who was speaking.
I'm sorry. I should have done it before. Well, great. Any other questions of the chairman? Thank you so much for being with us. I'm sure we'll be dealing with you again in the future, and hope to see you down here in Juneau.
I believe I'll be down there in not too far distant future. I have a report to give to you all.
Thank you, Jim. Bruce Johnson from the Alaska Council of School Administrators. Mr. Johnson, good to see you. Dr. Johnson, good to have you back. For the new members, you'll get used to Dr. Johnson in the room, and keeps a close track of us.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Bruce Johnson, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and I also serve as the Executive Director for the Superintendent Group. Under the council umbrella, I'll just say this at the beginning of the session, and then I won't do that in the future. We represent principals, both elementary and secondary, middle school principals, as well as business officials, and of course the superintendent. So it's the umbrella organization, and each of the individual organizations have part-time execs that work 10 or 15 hours a week or something of that nature to assist their local group, so or statewide group. So I've obviously been following this for since the beginning as the Department of Education has taken this issue on. I'll say on the front end, we felt somewhat left out of the process, and some of this came as a surprise. But I think as we realized what was going on kind of behind the scenes, we've gotten increasingly involved and feel very good about the attention that the commissioner and his staff has provided to the superintendents. Let me say at the front end of this is that we're not afraid of accountability. My membership is willing to be accountability. We see that sea change that's occurring across the country. Demands from Alaskans to be increasingly accountable for the dollars that we spend and for the service that we are hired to provide. So we won't shy away from that. We will be partners in moving forward with accountability. One of the privileges that I have is working with other execs in my role around the country. And I attended a meeting in December before the state board meeting, and they were talking about this issue of how do you implement these more complex teacher and principal evaluations focused around student growth. And of course, it varies tremendously across the country in terms of how that's done and what those expectations are. But I summarized their data that they provided in the following way. They said it's costly, it's time-consuming, it's incredibly complicated. Results to date across the country are mixed in this regard in terms of success with it and implementation, and it's not a magic bullet. What that tells me is we just have a lot of work. And to that end, and I want to commend the commissioner again, he's agreed to meet with superintendents before our legislative fly-in in early March, spend a day with us trying to unpack this with superintendents in terms of what is it that we need to do to make this a reality, even though it seems like the full reality is sometime in the future. We need to get going on it, and we need to start working hard in that regard. And he's going to be with us for that full day, listening and sharing and helping the state unpack this issue in terms of how we're going to proceed. I think we'll feel much better about things when we have a full understanding. As the commissioner mentioned this morning, there's lots of perhaps misinformation, generalizations that aren't well understood yet. When you take that 50% in the final analysis and you talk about that can be four measures of student progress, well, academic performance can be one of those. There may be others that are equally important to an individual school district. For instance, school attendance could be a measure of student growth and built into that plan. And districts could work very hard to try to make it desirable and comfortable for students to show up every day. So it may not be quite the steep hill that it appears on first blush when you talk about evaluating all staff on student growth. The fact that it's growth is something that we've argued for, and I think everybody kind of senses is the fairest approach, and we certainly support that. So many of my members are going to be speaking, so I'll stop there, answer any questions that you have, and of course I'm here in Juneau and will be attending your meetings on a regular basis.
Thank you very much. As I recall my experience as a school board president in the 80s, the issue we often had with the administration was, why is this teacher still here that no one thinks is very good? And it always came down to, well, we just didn't have time. And all of a sudden, the teacher has tenure, and no one has evaluated that person in the classroom. So to me, that's the key issue. How did you do that? Do you think this is possible, that we can really go from where we are right now? Maybe in the 80s it was worse than it is now, but to go from where we are now to where we want to be is a big step.
Mr. Chairman, there's no question it's a big step. But again, I think we understand the importance of teachers in the classroom. They're clearly the most important ingredient day in and day out, and we've got to pay attention to that. I think too often in Alaska, because of our uniqueness here, we settle for mediocrity from time to time. And we just can't do that. That doesn't work for young people. And people get passed around from district to district, whether they be principals or teachers. We've got to stop that. So again, I think we're committed to making this work. As we are with any statute, with any regulation, we'll step up to the plate and work with whether it's a legislature or a department head to make these things work and try them out. And I suspect that we'll be back at some point, the State Board of Education will be back saying, you know, we've discovered some things that don't work very well in this regulation, and we might have to tweak it a little.
Good, very good point. Any further questions? Yes, Senator Harkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Dr. Johnson. This system that's being proposed is one of many that we have implemented over time. The people in your colleagues that you associate with have been working in a system that's seen a number of these come about. And as highlighted, it's about teacher quality. And, you know, I guess my frustration as a parent and as a legislator to some degree is that it appears to me that there's some logic in going to the site where teachers are created, who can become a teacher, and then this system becomes a lot more coherent because we start creating that person we want in the classroom. Now, we all understand the challenges of parents and students and what shows up in the classroom, but but help me out, because I mean you work with a group of people that have, quote, the greatest degree of experience in the state with this sort of thing. So my assumption that your group has some thoughts on how we're going to get at who's going to be a teacher and the quality of the person before they get to the classroom.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, there is no question that that is a puzzle that we need to figure out. Universities, there's some committees going on right now working with K-12 to try to build a transition there that makes sense, so that the product that comes out of the university is ready to do the job that they're trained to do, both in education and elsewhere, that we can count on them having some basic skills as they move in that are universal, or they wouldn't get their credential. So I think those things are part of the solution. As it is at the other end, how can we help families send the very best child to the schoolhouse door when they enter for the first time, whether that be kindergarten or first grade? How can we impact that? That there's just so many things that determine a child's opportunity for success in later life, and they start at conception. We know that, and so we can't leave any of that out. So if we're going to be successful, we're going to have to work with the university to be more successful as well. So the teachers that are coming to us and are available from around the country, as well as our own universities, are a high grade of quality that allows them to enter the classroom and make a difference.
Thank you. And we will be receiving, having a meeting with the university to talk about their production of teachers and how that's going and what their plans are, and it's always a good time to hear what's going on and to encourage the development there. Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You used the words costly, time-consuming, complicated, mixed results. Were you referring to teacher evaluations generally, including our current process, or were you referring specifically to the concept of using student growth as an element of teacher evaluations?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, I was referring specifically to the new system that's being proposed.
Okay.
And it doesn't, I think sometimes evaluations in the past maybe have been one of those have-to things, and nobody placed a lot of value on them.
Thank you. And if I might follow up, Mr.
Chair. Please.
So do you think our current system is effective and serves us and our students well, or do you agree with the administration that we need to make some changes?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, I think changes personally are in order. I believe many of my members believe that this is a worthy topic and one that we need to explore and improve upon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much, Dr. Johnson. Good to see you again. Let's move on to Rob Thomason, Alaska Council of School Administrators. Is Rob here or with us?
Yes, this is Rob Thomason, for the record, superintendent in Petersburg, now Borough School District. Have been previously a superintendent in Nenana, and I'm proud to say we have Stedman Elementary School here in our district, the namesake of Senator Burke Stedman. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this topic. Right out of the chute, we appreciate the work of Commissioner Hanley and the outreach he's done to the superintendents to involve us in the process, and we strongly support, as you might recall, he's talked about inter-rater reliability. And that gets at Senator Dunleavy's question of, so how about people that move around, and how do we know where the competence is? And if we can get that inter-rater reliability nailed down, we will have made a huge step. We embrace the concept of the whole law. It is now the law of the land, and we are committed to implementing it. We strongly support the constructive feedback designed to help educators get better and help kids learn. That's what we do. We're looking forward to the guidance and the technical support from the Department of Education and the opportunity to partner with other districts as we move forward. As a superintendent in a small district, this can look like a very daunting task when a law like this is passed, and it's very inefficient for all 54 districts to try to do it individually. We totally welcome consortia. We totally welcome the template concept of the Department of Education and moving forward with that. As Commissioner Hanley mentioned, it's difficult to move forward with our present assessment system. We look forward to a vertically aligned assessment that's in place and a clear understanding of our standards. These are exciting times in Alaskan education. I think we're making some great strides, some bold strides, and it's going to take a lot of courage and commitment to move forward, but superintendents are up for it, and we've talked about it. One caveat, whatever is created, and we had a board meeting of the superintendents yesterday, and we would like to mention that we strongly recommend that the end product be technology-based, that it be mobile, that it be something that is not paper and pencil-based, that if we're going to do something, let's do it right, let's use the technology that's available, and let's make it user-friendly across platforms. That's pretty much where we are. We're looking forward to moving forward. Like I said, courage and commitment, and look forward to entertaining any questions from members of the committee.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Thomason. Just to make sure everyone understands, the Stedman Elementary School is not named after Senator Burt Stedman, but his aunt.
Right. Right? Yes, I know. I should have mentioned that, yes. But we're just proud anyway.
Good, good. Well, he's proud, too. Well, thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, please, Senator Gardner.
Thank you. And I don't know how much you'd want to speak to this, but can you tell us what you would see as the flaws of the current system, or what areas give you specific concern, or in what way is it not serving us well?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, the flaws of the current system?
Yes, maybe I misunderstood you, but I think you were saying that you would agree that we need to do something different than we're currently doing. Did some words to that effect. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that having the emphasis on some accountability is a good thing. The current system, there are processes and procedures to follow. Often it takes a lot of courage and commitment to follow those processes and procedures, and if you're in a situation as a superintendent or a principal where there's a teacher that is in trouble, it can become a very timely and costly process to help that person improve or help them find the alternative employment. It's just a very cumbersome thing. Not saying the processes, procedures, and rights and protections are wrong, it's just cumbersome, and it's a lot of work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thanks so much, Superintendent Thompson. We'll look forward to seeing you here in Juneau sometime in the near future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, move on to our old friend Carl Rose. I see he's here with us. Carl, from the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Mr. Rose.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. As you mentioned, for the record, Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Welcome, Senators. Looking forward to a great session. The School Board Association is not necessarily a pedestrian in this issue. If I may just share with you, the issue of governance at the federal level, at the state level, and at the local level all have a say in some of the things that we do in our schools. I think the important thing for school boards is that we adopt sound public policy, things that we can actually implement with the least amount of friction, if you will. You all understand we live in a very litigious society. So anything that we do that is questionable in any way that results in a job action, we will probably be in court. So that being said, let's talk about the issue at hand, evaluations. Last spring, I and the commissioner and members of NEA Alaska attended a meeting in Cincinnati hosted by Secretary. The issue that we were dealing with, as I understood it when we went back, was strengthening K-12 education, taking a look at student achievement, and teacher evaluation. Well, that sparked my interest. To my surprise, when we went down there, teacher evaluation was not a major issue of contention. I think people understand, in general, student achievement and evaluation is not a bad idea. The question is, how much weight are we going to give to this? Now, if I may, when you look at your content standards, and I think the commissioner pointed this out, of your 8 content standards, you have 7 of them that are inputs and directional. They say, understand how students learn, teach students, know the content area, facilitate, monitor, and assess, create, maintain healthy and active learning environments, work as partners with families, parents, and communities, participate and contributes to the teaching profession. Great. The last one says that student growth will be measured. That's the only measurement, and I think the commissioner mentioned that. That point will be at 20%, 35%, and 50%. As a practical matter, in 2019, I'm not going to be here. For many of you, you realize I've been here for a long time. The point is that if we were to move this standard to 50% of the evaluation, it lessens everything else that came before it. Simple math. The higher priority you place in student achievement, the less of a priority you place on everything else that you have here. We're going to realize that as years go on. So Dr. Johnson had mentioned, we're going to tweak the system. We know that. The question has to be sound public policy. I think it's appropriate that we use student data. The question has to be, to what degree will we give gravity to that element, and what effect is it going to have on our system? Will we find ourselves in court because we have to defend any decisions that are made, even though we're directed by the state? So that's my main point of concern. I don't see this as a problem. I don't think teachers and administrators see this as a problem unless we move into an area that places a high priority and gravity on student achievement with regard to employment through an evaluation system, plain and simple. So we will be monitoring this. We'll be working, and we'll be here with you. We'll be working with the department. And we do not have a position. We have not formally taken a position on this. But I think in general I can speak in this way. We're all concerned about student achievement, and we think it's appropriate to be part of the evaluation program. To what degree, we have to have that conversation, and that needs to be one that's made by the state. we will implement this at the local level. If we don't get clear direction from the state, we will be placed in harm's way. Try to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Rose. Yeah, you bring up some interesting issues, the idea of this all being tied to employment. At this point, it's not tied to salary, though, is it? We're not talking about, at this point at least, the teachers' salaries varying based on their on how they turn out, or is that going to be an issue?
I had not even considered that, but, you know, my experience has been almost everything comes down to salary in the end result. That's the last thing we ever decide on when we're in negotiations. But I don't see salary as the issue here. Mm-hmm. I think employment rights, you know, property rights. You know, a person's job is almost sacred. If you're going to non-retain somebody, you better have a good reason. And it better be sound. Otherwise, we take instructional dollars and we place them into litigation. I don't think that's a good idea. So, and I know you folks understand that. So we need to be careful when we work with this, come up with something sensible. And I think the commissioner is doing due diligence right now. So we will continue to monitor the process, and we'll be working on it.
Thank you. Any questions? Always a thank you to Mr. Rose for your comments. You give us a lot, always give us a lot to think about. I appreciate that.
Moving on to John Pyle, the Elementary School Principals Association. Is Mr. Pyle, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am here. Thank you very much for the opportunity to listen in. I am the Executive Director for the Elementary Principal Association and have been a principal in Fairbanks for about 30 years. Now I'm retired. I believe John Potash, our president, is on the line, and he may want to talk to you more about his opinions. So I'm listening. I sure appreciate being involved, and that's my comments.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Pyle. So, John Pius, you said, is he with us?
Yes, I am.
Could you spell your name? I don't know if I have it down here right.
Yes, P as in Peter, O, T as in Tom, H, A, S as in Sam, T as in Tom.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Okay. I want to thank all of you, the commissioner and the committee, for giving us an opportunity to speak to you guys and give our input. I really feel strongly. I'm the president of the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals, and so as the association president, I feel strongly about principals having our voice in things that are coming down that affect us. And I also, just so you know, I've been a principal down here on the Kenai. I'm in Soldotna, Readout Elementary School. I've been a principal down here in Alaska for 13 years. So thank you for the opportunity. I want to express a number of things that have been said already, but I want to thank you for, you know, that moving towards multiple measures, that's something that we've been asking for, you know, since No Child Left Behind came along, the fact that we don't necessarily want to hang our hats on that one day of testing in March. So moving towards multiple measures and also definitely moving to the student growth model, I think is tremendous, a great movement where we're going there. You know, as principals, we understand and we respect that accountability piece. That's a part of our lives, and we have no issues with that. Absolutely, we should be accountable. Our teachers should be accountable, because we have a huge task of educating our kids, and we need to be accountable for whether we're doing that or not. And we also understand Bruce had commented on, you know, the new law of the land. These are the new regulations are what we have to do. I like to think of it in terms of the Department of Ed has defined our sandbox. And now it's our job to figure out within that sandbox, how does that work and what does that look like? I do have a couple of concerns about what that looks like. One of them is, even though we've gone to the multiple measures and we've got 2 to 4 multiple measures, those are not defined, and that still makes me a little uneasy, and I understand that we're going to be defining those, but my concern is that since it's not very clear, what does that look like if we don't define those very well? It's just there's a lot of gray still on that. And again, as Bruce commented, we just have a tremendous amount of work ahead of us. And I don't want to see us necessarily throw something out or there being negative repercussions coming down as we're defining what all of this looks like. I think we all need to continue to work together and continue to call each other to the table and have those discussions. The inter-rater reliability, I'm a huge proponent of that. I think if we're going to be doing that, if we're going to be doing this and having this expectation at the state level, I like that inter-rater reliability. That has to be there to make sure that how I evaluate my teachers on the Kenai is very similar to how we're going to do that down in Sitka or up in Barrow. My concern there is that with the assessments undefined, and I like the idea of that, as the commissioner pointed out, that those measurements don't have to necessarily be formalized. But my fear is that we're not going to have some good data to compare our kids across the state. If the Kenai comes up with three measurements that are not standardized, that are very regionally in our district, can we reliably compare how the Kenai third graders are doing to the Sitka third graders or to the Juneau third graders if every district has its own set of what that assessment looks like? Again, looking at the big picture, where we're going to be in 5 years from now, I see that becoming a concern that people are now going to have is, wait a minute, all these districts have their own assessments, but we can't compare anyone across the state. The next concern I have is, again, I like the idea of multiple, or I like the idea of the growth model. I think that's where we need to go. I'm uncomfortable right now with a lack of definition of what growth is. You know, one of the things that we do down on the Kenai is we use AIMSWeb. It's a universal screener to take a look at how kids are performing, especially at the elementary level. But based on that, just in our school, for example, you know, our wide range of population, we have some kids who, if they're increasing over their, you know, from, we give that in the fall and the winter, if they increase from the fall to the winter by a scale score of 3 points, we're doing backflips because that's incredible. You know, those tend to be the special ed kids, and to see an improvement of 3 points is huge growth for those kids. But we've got other kids on the other end of the spectrum that 3 points is not sufficient because they should be, you know, cranking out a 20-point or a 30-point difference in that education. And so I'm a little concerned that how much growth is appropriate growth, and I get the feeling that that's definitely being left up to the districts. But, you know, there's potential. I hope that's not abused, but I also hope that if a district comes forward and says that this is appropriate growth for this student, that that's acceptable growth. And then the last thing that I have is kind of both Bruce and Carl spoke to it, but the 50% is concerning to me. On the Kenai, our current... And the commissioner alluded to some districts are already kind of moving in that direction, and I think the Kenai is. We've got the framework of teaching based on Charlotte Danielson, which is where the commissioner and the department wants us to go along the lines of something, an evaluation model like that. And we have in ours, there's four domains that we evaluate our teachers at, and all of those, what the state expects us to evaluate, they're all combined within those domains. The student learning data is now going to add a fifth domain, so we're going to have five domains. When regulations say that the student learning is going to be 50% of the evaluation, that's half of our evaluation is going to be based on how those kids do, and I think that's overemphasizing that. And, you know, the regulations do speak to the fact that if a teacher is basic in one area, that is not necessarily meaning a level of concern. But my concern is, what if that one area is the student learning data? So half of your evaluation is basic. because that's where the weight is. And so that's a concern of mine, the 50%. So again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and I really appreciate the movement that we're making towards the student growth in multiple measures. I just think we have some unresolved questions that is, I think we've got our work cut out for us. So thank you, and I would entertain any questions if anyone has any.
Well, thank you so much, John. You raised some extremely important and very interesting issues, the matter of districts evaluating differently and what happens when the teacher moves from one district to another, the issue of growth and how it's applied across the student population. Really appreciate your comments. Any questions of John? Again, thank you very much, John, for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Let's move on to Andre. Is it Leral? Andre, is Andre with us or on the line?
I'm the executive director for the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals, and like my colleague John Pyle, I would prefer to allow Adam Mokelke and Rod Morrison to speak, and perhaps you could call on me after they speak, and I might just add a couple of things that they may not cover.
Thank you very much, Andre. Moving on then to Adam. Are you with us, Adam? And if you'd identify yourself.
Yes, good morning, Senator. For the record, my name is Adam Mokelke. I'm the president of AASSP, the Alaska Association of Secondary Schools Principals, representing approximately 275 middle and high school principals and other educational leaders in the state. I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to speak and address you this morning. Because of the, you know, esteemed colleagues and experts who've gone before me, much of what I have to say is echoing their thoughts and their sentiments. I'd like to begin by echoing what Dr. Johnson and President Pott has said, which is our association is not afraid of accountability. We ask, you know, to be held accountable for student achievement. We feel that that's important and critical, and we are glad to be going in this direction. Commissioner Hanley mentioned training in his presentation, or perhaps in answering some of the questions, and that's a critical point for our association. We are concerned about the level of training, and of course, Senator Dunleavy mentioned funding, and those things will go hand in hand. So one of our points that we'll be following is how will we be training principals across the state and preparing them to implement the new evaluation system effectively. President Potash mentioned, and I'd echo his sentiments, that multiple measures rather than the one measure are SDA tests, multiple measures and focusing on student growth rather than meeting an arbitrary cut score, I believe those are both tremendously positive directions for us to be moving in terms of looking at student achievement and looking at evaluation. And again, to echo what's been said already, our concern as an association is that we define and identify what multiple measures of student learning will mean, what that will look like. I won't repeat a lot of what President Pott has said, but I echo his sentiments on concerns about identifying those, about those being consistent across the state. And I also would add that, you know, my question for our board would be, at what level will those be identified and defined? Will they be identified at the state level, and how much local control will our local school boards and our educational leaders of our districts, our superintendents, how much will they have over defining what those multiple measures will be? My final thought is a concern that our board has expressed in our prior testimony to the department, and it's also a personal concern of mine, having spent most of my life and over 10 years of my career in rural Alaska. I wonder how a new system will affect low-performing schools, and specifically our rural schools. I wonder how it will affect recruitment and training. I wonder to which level people will prefer to work in places where there are more resources and more assets and frankly, more educators to work with students. So that would be my last question, or the last concern I'd like to state. I want to thank the committee once again on behalf of our board, the AASSP board, for allowing us to speak this morning. And I will answer any questions if you have questions for me.
Thank you very much, Adam. That is a concern I've had from the beginning. Discussion of this is how does it impact having many many small villages in my district more than I've had in the past 10 years. I'm concerned. Do teachers choose some schools over another? Is this going to have an impact on how we staff our schools? So I think you bring up an interesting point, an important point. Hope we can hear more about that. Thank you so much, Adam. Any questions of Adam? Let's move on then to Rod Morrison, also with the Secondary School Principals. Rod? Rod Morrison, are you with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, hear you, Rod. Please go ahead.
I apologize. Rod Morrison, I'm a principal of Gilson Middle School in Valdez, Alaska. I've been principal here for 11 years now. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share some concerns I have. I echo the concerns of other people, but the four I'd like to hit on is the implementation of this process has to be consistent throughout the state. Currently, our evaluation system is probably very inconsistent from district to district. The other thing I'd like to stress is the communication of the new system. In our state, being the size of it is, it's sometimes very hard to communicate what we're going to do for everybody. And we really have to make a real valid effort to communicate with the districts and make sure that everybody is on the same page so it doesn't come back to bite somebody in the end. The other thing is echo what Adam said, is the funding and training that has to be consistent and implemented so that we're all ready for this. I believe accountability is vastly important, and I just appreciate the efforts that your committee has done on this.
Thank you so much.
I'm available to answer more questions. If anybody has any, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Morrison. Any questions? Let's circle back then, if we can, to Andre Lirel, who asked to speak after Adam and Rod. Andre, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our National Association, NASSP, and the National Elementary Association, NAESP, recently published a document that identified six important domains for principal evaluation. And in prior testimony, we've shared our concern that any effective evaluation system that will be done of principals needs to recognize that there's a variety of roles, and those roles aren't all the same when it comes to school administrators. The roles of assistant principals in some of our schools are very different from the role of assistant principal in other schools based on the responsibilities that they take on. And we think it's really important that the responsibility, authority, and autonomy be taken into consideration when linking student performance and student achievement to their evaluations. Our national association recognizes professional growth and learning, school planning and progress, school culture, professional qualities and instructional leadership, and stakeholder support and engagement, and student growth and achievement. So of those six domains, focusing 50% of the evaluation eventually on student growth and achievement, I think is going to be something that's going to take a lot of work. Like many have said, I don't think that any of us shirks the responsibility and accountability, but placing too great an emphasis and disregarding the other important role that school principals and assistant principals play in shaping the culture of the school, developing their own professional growth and learning, being responsible for the professional growth and learning of teachers in their schools, and then shaping the school culture, planning and implementing programs. I wonder where school principals are going to have time to implement these new evaluation systems. And certainly to have a fair and balanced system, there needs to not only be adequate training and inter-rater reliability, but there needs to be time, and with these added responsibilities in the new evaluation system, that's something that our association has some concerns about. The other thing I'd like to say is that there's a lot of non-traditional subjects beyond reading, writing, and math that are part of schools, and linking multiple measures, with one of them being our SBA's currently and in the future, any future assessments,
I wonder how foreign language teachers and art teachers and physical education teachers and science and social studies teachers are all going to be held accountable for that measure when they're not teaching reading, writing, and math, but they incorporate it appropriately where it fits appropriately within their curriculum. So I think we've got a lot of work ahead of us. I do think that this is an exciting time. It's an opportunity for us to work together with our local school districts to come up with a system that's going to work locally. I know that we've got some schools in Alaska that have 100% turnover of staff, and in some cases when you have a new administrator and many new staff in a year, being responsible for student achievement and also receiving the training so that the teachers can be evaluated on student performance, I think that the flexibility that's in this current document certainly has to consider that. So I'll stop there, but I do think that many of the concerns that you've heard from others are similar for our secondary school principals, and we look forward to working with the department and supporting our members and their professional growth in this area. So thank you again for providing us time this morning.
Thank you, Andre. I appreciate your comments. And from all three members of the secondary school principals, any questions? Let's move on then to John Alcantara with NEA. Mr. Alcantara, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. Welcome back to most of you, and welcome to the new senator from District D. It's actually my district. As a parent of four kids from Palmer, I'm a consumer of the education product. I have three kids in Matsu's public schools and one more starting in August, which is a beautiful thing. So I'll have four kids in the Matsu public school system. Today I'm actually going to talk a little bit about what's happening this weekend at the Hotel Captain Cook in Anchorage. And this weekend, the 13,000 people that I represent, John Alcantara, I handle government relations for NEA Alaska Public School Employees Union. And this weekend, 400 elected delegates elected by their 13,000 peers from Metlakatla to Barrow will kind of converge on the Hotel Captain Cook and set our policy for 2013, which obviously includes the most of the 90 days of the legislative session. So unlike most of you, I've never served in elected office, either at the school board level, several of you, or obviously at the legislative level. But this weekend is sort of like legislature on steroids, where they go till 1, 2, 3 in the morning on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and kind of set education policy for the year. So what I'd like to do, though, to bring another voice into the discussion, and I certainly applaud Senator Stevens for holding this hearing. I know I've learned a lot today listening to all the gentlemen that have spoken. But LaDawn Drews is the vice president of NEA Alaska, and she also serves as the president of the Kenai Peninsula Education Association, representing about 650 teachers down there in the Kenai. So if LaDawn is there, I'm going to turn it over to LaDawn Drews and let her talk to the senators. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Good to see you here again. Look forward to working with you this coming year. LaDawn, are you with us?
Yes, sir, Senator Stevens, I am.
Well, also good to hear from you, and look forward to seeing you down here during session.
Thank you, absolutely.
Please go ahead, LaDawn.
Thank you. And Senator Stevens, thank you for this opportunity. Good morning, and members of the committee. I appreciate this opportunity to speak on behalf of NEA Alaska. I, along with many others, did testify to the state school board on December the 6th when the regulations came before the board. As you know, the Kenai Peninsula, as many of you may know, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District began the task of improving our own teacher evaluation model over 3 years ago. As local association president on the Kenai, I've been very involved in that process. And as Commissioner Hanley and Mr. Pottis mentioned earlier, I believe we are one of the districts that is certainly moving forward. And let me state at this time unequivocally that NEA Alaska has a vested interest in leading our profession and welcomes a candid and honest conversation to improve teacher effectiveness and student success. As John mentioned, I'm up here in Anchorage for our delegate assembly, and one of the committees that we have formed is leading the profession of award-winning teachers and educators here in our state to look at these very issues, and that will be coming before our delegates here this weekend. However, one of our main concerns with the regulations would lie in 4 AAC 19.010 paragraph G. A teacher, administrator, or special services provider who receives a performance rating of unsatisfactory on one or more of the content standards or other criteria for which evaluation is required under this section has not met the district performance standards. That's a direct quote, and then by statute would thereby be placed on a plan of improvement. This is kind of going, I believe, to what Executive Director Rose was speaking of. So you have the eight standards, one of them now being student learning data standard. So in 2015-16, when student learning data becomes 20% of the teacher or administrator's overall performance rating, in actuality, it could actually become 100%. Because again, by that definition above, any standard deemed unsatisfactory would then result in a plan of improvement, which could possibly lead to termination. As Executive Director Rose clearly stated before, we are concerned about these conditions of employment type issues and how the verbiage is currently in regulation. We are all aware there are so many other factors which contribute to student success which are beyond the control of the classroom teacher. And I know Commissioner Hanley addressed this, and I really appreciated his comments at the beginning, and I was taking copious notes because he and I have had these discussions previous to some of these concerns, and he actually stated a lot of them in his opening comments. But those factors outside of the teacher's control weigh heavily on a success of a student in a classroom. Poverty, lack of supervision at home, neglect, abuse, and potentially parents just not valuing education for their students. The regulation states that a district evaluation of a teacher shall provide information and analysis that helps the teacher grow professionally. And we are very much in support of a professional growth model for our educators. However, the lack of recognition that a new-to-the-profession teacher or a teacher with a major change of assignment might indeed be considered basic in many, if not potentially all, the standards is not a recognition and value of the growing as a professional. Mr. Pottis mentioned we are using the Danielson model on the Kenai, and I believe the comment here is the consistency of which these four categories are going to be stated and defined. I don't know what the board was thinking in terms of a definition of the basic, proficient, exemplary, but Danielson very clearly defines those in her work and states that new to the profession teachers are basic, actually should be basic, because they are learning the art and craft of teaching. And so even though something may not be required of a district when a basic rating is given, I'm afraid it's going to, in effect, have an unintended consequence of putting everyone in a proficient or distinguished category when, quite honestly, that's probably not where everybody is or needs to be. Our hope is that the commissioner and the department will continue to involve NEA Alaska in these very important discussions. We very much want to support a positive change to a system that definitely can be better. We have to get this right, and Alaska's children deserve no less. I'd be open for any comments or questions. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Ms. Drews. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I just have a quick question. Are you saying that because of the potential consequences of basic ratings, there would be some sort of inflation of ratings to avoid those consequences?
Through the chair, yes, Senator Gardner. I'm afraid there might be, because as we have learned on the Kenai, we have put in place a system that is very time and labor intensive of our administrators. And while we value that, you know, there could be this unintended consequence of, well, if I mark someone basic, then I'm going to have to do this. And it would be a lot easier if I just said they're proficient. So, yes, that goes to the heart of that comment. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, John, any closing comments? Again, thank you, very much, Ms. Drews. Appreciate everyone's comments. I'm trying to go over my list here, Tim, that I have. Is there anyone who's signed up that we have not called on? It looks to me like Chris Raytan from Galena City School District. Chris, are you with us? Are Todd Pogue, superintendent, Todd Pogue? It looks like we have maybe missed those two. We've got one. Okay. Let's start with Chris Raytan from Galena, if you are with us, Chris. Hello, Chris, are you with us? Or Todd, Todd Pogue, either one.
Oh, Senator Stevens, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And who is this, please?
Yes, this is Todd Pogue, superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District.
Thank you for being with us, Todd. Have you had a chance to hear the discussion that's gone on?
Yeah, I was just calling in today. I knew our President Ross Thompson was speaking, and also Bruce Johnson, so I was just listening today. I really don't have any other input other than I think it's important that the funding, the training, and consistency across the state. Other than that, I just kind of echo what the association has already said and everyone else has spoken. So thank you and the committee for the time.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate your being with us. What about Chris Raytan? Is he available? We missed him. Okay, we'll try and get
back. Yeah, this is Chris Raytan.
Yes, Chris, I am sorry. Have you had a chance to hear what's been going on here?
Yes, I have.
Thank you for being with us. Any comments you may have?
Well, one comment that I haven't heard specifically addressed, but I think it's important for the Senate Education Committee to be aware of, is kind of what's the push behind these new regulations? And the real push behind the regulation is the flexibility waiver from the NCLB guidelines that is currently in place. The state of Alaska, through the Department of Education, has submitted a waiver from the current NCLB guidelines. And in that was a kind of a four-pronged application, and teacher and principal administration evaluation being one key piece of that whole application waiver. So that's kind of the driving force behind it, and I think it's important for the Education Committee to be aware of what are the federal kind of pushes behind this. If the state hadn't applied for a waiver under the current guidelines of NCLB, you know, by the end of the 2014 school year, every school in this state would have been considered a failing school because not 100% of their students are proficient in all areas of the testing. So the pieces that I think are important, that flexibility, I like the standards. I think the state did an outstanding job with developing new standards, getting input, aligning them to the common core. I think that's outstanding. I think the work that they did also is how they can develop accountability in student growth at the school level and with individual subgroups of students has been outstanding. This topic that has been discussed today is the one that seems to be getting the most discussion because it's still a little nebulous of how do you build all that into an evaluation tool for principals and teachers. And the one thing that I'm nervous about is that we haven't fully moved into the new standards. We don't have assessments yet that are in place that are aligned with the new standards. And some of this dialogue about student achievement, we're in a little bit of a fog, a little bit of a gray area, because we don't really know what some of these standards mean until you have an assessment item attached to it. And so we're a few years out. So I would just, in this whole discussion, ask all of us to be, be cautious, be prudent, but also make sure that we have a system in place that's flexible, because once we know what the real game is down the line when the new assessments are in place, then we'll probably need to adjust. My sense is once those new assessments are in place the first year, we're going to see a big dip in student performance because the entire state is kind of trying to work through new standards, and, you know, we just don't know what it means yet. And so I wanted to make sure that the Senate Education Committee had that piece of information, and I think the dialogue here is right on the money. I don't think anybody in education or the state would be fearful of having student achievement be a part of an evaluation process. I think it needs to be. I think we just need to be careful and cautious and prudent that we consider all things in putting the system in place. With that, I would open up to any questions that people might have of me.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate your comments.
we have come to the end of our time. I had hoped to get back to the commissioner to circle back here, but we're not going to have time for that. But we'll have every opportunity to speak to you in the future, Commissioner. Appreciate everyone's comments. Of course, the first meeting of our education committee. I haven't introduced Tim Lampkin, who will be staffing the committee and available for anything you might need. I guess finally, I'd say that this is such an important issue. It's in a way we sort of have come in to the middle of a debate, and everyone else has been talking about it, and we're sort of coming in as it's gone on to some extent. I look forward to talking to individual members of the committee to seeing where you want to go with this, if you want to go any further with this, what further information we might need, and how we might be involved. So thank you very much, Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a brief question of the
Certainly.
Commissioner.
Certainly.
And maybe you can answer another time. It's simply this, and thank you for the leave to do this. Have we invented this ourselves out of whole cloth, or are we following a template that's been used elsewhere?
Through the chair, over 40 states have implemented some version of tying teacher evaluations to student learning. So we feel like we've utilized the best of what's out there and developed one that works for Alaska.
Thank you. But a very important question, and I do think there are issues we want to cover further on this entire subject. And thank you very much, Commissioner. And with that, we are adjourned.